On Sunday mornings, the past couple of months, we've been talking about subject like what is the Church of Christ, what is true worship, and the era of denominationalism. And this lesson tonight is going to kind of complement what we said in that lesson, because this is one of the subjects we talked about where some people say doctrine really doesn't matter. And that's the denomination do that. Now, why do they say it? Well, they say it because they have thousands of denominations and they all teach different doctrines. But yet they want to claim that they're all associated with Christ. And of course, we've seen from the scriptures, once you deviate from the Word of God, you don't have Christ. If you don't stay in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. You don't have Christ. And so, does doctrine really matter? That's our subject tonight, and it'll kind of fit in that theme. When we realize that doctrine and teaching are the same thing, the answer is yes. Doctrine really does matter. And so, let's look at this. Doctrine and teaching are the same thing because they both give instruction in the law, and both give instruction in what is right before God. And so, we're going to see that in a little bit. Most versions use both terms interchangeably. And you'll see, sometimes they'll be talking about doctrine, sometimes they'll be talking about teaching. And then there's some other words that come in there, but it's all the imparting of knowledge, the imparting of instruction so that people can receive the instruction and do something about it. Not just sit back there and, okay, he said a sermon and that's it. Go home. No, it's more than that. It's taking what we have. The words that are translated to doctrine and teaching, they're more commonly doctrine, and they have quite a few meanings. And we're going to mention in Isaiah 28, verse 9, the word is translated to teach knowledge. That's what this word means, to impart the knowledge. As the preacher stands before the audience and gives a comprehensive idea of what he studied for that week, that's imparting knowledge. Now, what the members do with that knowledge is up to them. But yet, here, I'm making the effort to teach knowledge. All right. In Isaiah 29 and verse 24, that same word is translated as that which is to be learned. They will know the truth. So here's a long phrase, they will know the truth, but how will they know the truth? Well, it's implied not that someone has given them that knowledge. They will know the truth, and they will accept instruction. As the people of God who are trying to be faithful to God, they will receive the instruction, and they will abide by what they're taught. A lot of people, they hear the instruction, but then they decide for themselves, well, do I want to do this? They treat it as optional, and maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. And really, when they get to that point, it's who cares is their problem. All right. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 8, the word that we have translated for doctrine and teaching is called their discipline of delusion. In other words, they've taught themselves. And remember when Paul wrote about the fact that to the Thessalonians that people will believe the lie there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They're going to believe the lie, so God's going to send them a strong deluding influence that they'll do it. And why? It's not because God wants people to believe the lie. We know that. It's because they don't want the truth. And so, in a sense, Jeremiah said the same thing. These people don't want the truth. They don't want to abide and live in the truth. And so, they're going to teach themselves this discipline of delusion. So, we have the words doctrine, teaching, instruction, truth, knowledge, discipline. It's all there wrapped up in the meaning of teaching and doctrine. In Matthew 7:28, it says, the people were astonished at his doctrine because he spoke as one having authority. You read some other versions, it'll say they were astonished at his teaching. It's basically the same idea. Doctrine and teaching are the same thing. And of course, in our world today, we don't really think about that. When we think of a doctrine, we think of some sort of treatise that some men or group of men have signed, and like the Monroe Doctrine. which I imagine probably hardly anybody in this room can tell you what the Monroe Doctrine was. And there's been other doctrines that have been put into place over the years. And this is kind of like a set of rules, is what it was established as. And then people think, okay, that's something very special on doctrine. Now teaching, anybody can teach. And we all do teach. We all teach a lesson. And we, as we've been discussing in our Sunday morning class, we are teaching somebody something, and our responsibility is to make sure we're teaching them the right thing by our example and showing them what is the right way. Because if we're not doing right in the sight of God, we're setting an example that God doesn't matter. And so we have to be very careful about that. All right. Matthew 22 and 33, it reads, "And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." See, this is not the Sermon on the Mount, which he had just finished back in Matthew chapter 7. Here's another place Jesus has taught, and he's teaching them some words that he's kind of stepped on some toes by this time, and they were astonished at what he was teaching them. Remember, we can go back to Luke, and when Jesus remained in Jerusalem, his parents went back, and they couldn't find him for 3 days. They found him in the temple, and it says the scribes and the priests were astonished at the wisdom of this young man that was standing there asking questions and telling them things. And so they were astonished as well. The point is, they were astonished at his teaching. What he wasn't teaching the run-of-the-mill sermon that they were used to getting. He was teaching something that was new. He was teaching people what it meant to be right with God. And this is something that they really had not heard before. Can you imagine that? Never hearing the gospel message? Well, they didn't hear the gospel message back then, but Christ came along and said, "You know what? You got to get right with God. There's just no other way about it. You've got to be right with God if you're going to have any hope of salvation." And they really hadn't heard that type of message before. So that's why it says they were astonished at his teaching. And doctrine and teaching are the same thing, and what is taught is important. Some people want to think it's all about the delivery or how it's presented. You know, some people, depending on where you're from, they have different styles. You know, preachers have different styles. You know that. You've seen a lot of them, and they all have different styles. Some are just very quiet, speaking monotone, and really don't. Some get kind of excited at times. Some speak with an accent, and some are normal people. But still, what is the doctrine? What's important is what is taught. And really, it's how it's presented really should not matter. You know, I've been some places where, yes, some people get very colorful and animated. Sometimes they get down here and just scream into the microphone so everybody can hear them. And they really, and it's almost like they want to eat the thing like an ice cream cone. But you know preachers like that. I know several like that. But it's the message that is important. And that's what God wants us to know. It's the message that is important. And so Jesus warned of those who would teach the doctrines and precepts of men. Because, like I said, God had his set of rules, his set of instructions, and then someone comes along and says, "Well, you don't have to do that." You know, the first person to do this was the serpent in Acts chapter 3. What did God say? "Oh, no, no, that's not going to be that way. You will not surely die." I mean, so false teaching comes along. And even though that wasn't a man that did it, he kind of set the pattern for all those others who did. And so men have deviated from the truth. One of the first instructions given to Moses was to teach the people, don't stray from the truth. You do it. You be careful to do and observe all these things that I've commanded you today for your good. And the people decide to do their own thing, and guess what? They're going to get punished. And sometimes they won't even know why they're getting punished. The children of Israel, they had the biggest problem here. They said, "We don't want to do what God wants to do, but we're God's chosen, so he's going to bless us." And then when the blessings didn't come and the cursing did come, they just, "What? happened here? We're God's people. He should be taking care of us. We're privileged. We're that type. God shouldn't be punishing us just because of who we are. We're His children. Well, we know God was upset with His children. He was punishing them. They were not behaving like they should behave. And so, God got on their case about it. Jesus called it vain worship. Vain worship, to worship in any way other than what the Word of God expresses. And we know in this world, with all the denominations and all the false teaching out there, and some of them even coming from preachers of the Church of Christ, teaching doctrines that are foreign to God's Word, teaching things that some of them don't even make any sense, but they claim to be a Church of Christ preacher. And it's just vain worship of what they're doing. And those in the denominations who put up with false teaching, it is vain worship. They're deluding themselves. They have been deceived. And of course, Satan is just as happy as he can be, right? Because he is the father of lies. And if he can get a bunch of people doing things which they think that they're okay, but God knows they're not okay, well, that's okay with Satan, because Satan's only job is to keep you out of heaven, to keep me out of heaven, keep us all out of heaven. That's the only job Satan has as far as he's concerned. And if he can get someone to tell lies and get those lies believed, then he's done his job, right? It's like they say, you tell a lie long enough and it'll be believed. Yes. So looking at doctrine, Acts 2:42 says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, what was the apostles' doctrine? Well, we if we remember from our series on what is the Church of Christ and what is true worship, the apostles' doctrine is that which the Lord told them to say. And when did He say it? At different times, but specifically in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15 and 16, talking about the fact that I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring to your memory everything that I have said to you. That's what Jesus is talking. Everything Jesus said to them, He was going to bring to their remembrance, and then the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. So when the apostles were going to start preaching, and Peter was no exception there, when Peter got up on Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, and preached that very first sermon, the Holy Spirit was guiding him. And he brought this message that the people needed to hear. And so the people continued in the apostles' doctrine. What is that doctrine? It's what Jesus told them to say. And Jesus told them, I'm going to tell you what to say, because what I've had to say was not my own words, right? He said, I didn't say anything except the Father told me to say them. So whatever God has told me to say, that's what I said. And you're going to do the same thing. He didn't give them no ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to do the same thing. He didn't give them any choices if you feel like it. He didn't give them the choice that, well, I'm telling people this is what they need to do. You don't have the right to change that. And so the apostles did not deviate from what Jesus told them to say. We know that because they took the time and they explained it. They wrote about it in their letters to the churches. And so we have the New Testament in writing. This is the word of Christ. This is the message of Christ that we have now. And it is the apostles' doctrine. Their doctrine wasn't any different than the doctrine of Jesus. It was identical. So they followed the teaching that the apostles taught. That's what the people did. And yet, in a few years, we're going to find out some of them deviate from the truth. They were led by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 5:17-28, the high priests and Sadducees beat the apostles and commanded they not teach this new doctrine. What was the new doctrine? They were teaching about salvation in Jesus Christ. Back in chapter 4, they said there's salvation in no other name than Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And the Jews did not like hearing that. So that's why they beat the apostles, said, you don't do that. That's a no-no. Then they said, they replied, we must obey God rather than men. All right, so they commanded them not to teach the new doctrine, but they continued teaching it anyway. They continued to teach it. And they continued in their teaching in the name of Jesus, because that's where salvation lies, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes the doctrine and teaching was accompanied by miracles from the Holy Spirit, as in the case of Paul confronting Elymas, the magician, and many other cases. And those in the audience believed the doctrine of the Lord because of what they saw. Some people need convincing proof, and we've seen that. Now, in the Old Testament, they kept asking for convincing proof. I know in the days of Isaiah, Isaiah was trying to get the people to return to the Lord, repent, return to the Lord. Well, show us a sign. And so they're always looking for something. Wow, that's neat. And they asked Jesus, show us a sign. And by this time, Jesus had them figured out pretty well. Said, no, there's only going to be one sign, the sign of Jonah. That's the only one you're going to see. And that really, they had to wait until he was dead for 3 days. Then he arose. That's when all of a sudden the sign of Jonah would be there in play. And some of them would realize that, okay, here's the sign that God is giving us. But they should have known that long before, because they had their scriptures. They had the scriptures that described the Messiah, what he would be like, what he would come teaching, and how he would be teaching, and of course how he would live and how he would die. They had all that information laying at their feet, in their hands, and they didn't see it in Jesus. The people on Mars Hill wanted to know what this new doctrine or the teaching which Paul was preaching. Paul went everywhere, went to the synagogue, started preaching the gospel and reasoning from the scriptures what the Christ was, Messiah, and the Savior. And these people, it's just like they were a bastion of knowledge. They wanted more knowledge. Just give us knowledge. We're not going to do anything with it, but we just want to have the knowledge. And that's pretty much what they did. They took the knowledge, but a few believed. A few responded to the gospel message. But most of them, yeah, okay, we'll listen to you again sometime. It's like people today. You say, okay, we're going to have a big conference. We're going to get a bunch of people tell us things. What are we going to do about it? Absolutely nothing. And that's what these people do. Absolutely nothing. With what knowledge? And, you know, sometimes preachers, they get out and give you all this information. What do you do with it? In some cases, nothing. And so that's why we need to look at doctrine and why it's so important. In Romans 6:17, Paul declares that the new Christians had obeyed that form of doctrine that comes from God and produces salvation. He said there are some things you're not supposed to do. If you do, you'll be cut off from God and you won't be able to spend time in the kingdom. You won't be in the kingdom because of it. But he says, you were these things. He commended the Romans. Some of you were this type of people. And he had a big long list of sins, but you obeyed that form of doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine to believe in Jesus Christ and to be washed of their sins. And that's how. And then live faithfully. So that was the doctrine they had obeyed. And in verse 17 of chapter 16, the warning is watch out for those who teach things contrary to the teaching that they originally received from the apostles. See, Paul had to deal with this on numerous occasions. He'd already preached the gospel. He'd gone through the whole region preaching the gospel. Then people were coming behind him and teaching him other things. He described some of them as upsetting the faith of many. So they were teaching falsehood. And Paul was preaching the truth, and the messages did not agree with each other. So Paul had to tell people, watch out for it. That's, you know, what he said to the Galatians. Though we or an angel from heaven give to you any other doctrine than that which you have received, let him be accursed. He even repeated that. So, Paul emphasized that doctrine is very important. Timothy was admonished to speak against anything that is contrary to sound teaching. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. In other words, if it's not the truth, then you got to watch out for it, and you got to expose it. Speak against it. When someone gets up and starts telling lies, you can say, wait a minute, that's wrong. That is error. We cannot handle that. We should not handle that. True doctrine is that is not corrupted is sound in doctrine. And of course, sound basically means without flaw, without crack, without any impurities. It's pure, as we understand. And so in 1 Timothy 4:13, we read this from Paul, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." Pay attention to what is being taught. And it's one thing for knowledge to be out there, but that knowledge has to be taught if people are going to learn anything. And so pay attention to it. And watch out for the possibility that someone will be teaching false doctrine. In verse 16, he said, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching." King James says, "and to your doctrine. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." There is a benefit to receiving the Word of God. It's not just, okay, here's the benefit, the preacher's paid to preach the truth, so we're happy he's doing that. But if you don't receive it and don't start doing what is being taught, what good is it going to do you? It's not going to do any good at all. So the sound Bible teaching will lead one towards salvation. And then applying what we have been taught will help us gain that salvation. But if we don't do anything with what we're taught, it's not going to do us any good. All right, remember that salvation is conditional upon faithful obedience. And we emphasize that often. We emphasize that faithful obedience is necessary. And we have people coming around behind us saying, "Oh no, you don't have to do that. Just believe, that's all you have to do and you'll be saved." And they teach falsehood. And guess what is easier for people to believe? The falsehood is easier for people to believe because that's what they want to hear. There is a warning that the Christian's behavior can affect the perception of our doctrine. As we read in 1 Timothy 6:1, talking about our example and our influence. Kind of like we talked about in our class this morning. It's our whole, everything about us, our speech, our thoughts, our hearts, our attitude, everything has to be focused on living the Christian life. Otherwise, there's something wrong with us. And people will not pay attention to us because we're no different than they are. We have to express this, and we have to live our lives in such a way as to show Christ in our lives. All right. 1 Timothy 6:3, he warns of anyone advocating a different doctrine, and as such as teaching a doctrine that does not agree with sound words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness. Yes, some people, even back in the first century, when Christ was so close to them, they were turning their back on the truth. And they had to be dealt with. They talked about them. There in 1 Timothy 4, he talks about those who would advocate the false doctrines. 2 Peter chapter 2, there are false teachers arose among the people. And there will continue to be false teachers. We have the warnings that false teachers are out there, and we know they are out there, and yet we really don't seem to care what anybody says. Oh, they must know what they're talking about. How many times have you heard someone say, "Well, my preacher said," then give you something? No, we cannot ever do that. Don't ever quote me. What does God say? Here's what the Bible says. My job is to present the Word of God. And if I'm not doing that, somebody better tell me. But my job is to preach the Word of God and tell people what they need to do to be right in the sight of God. And if my words don't agree with the Word of God, there's a problem. All Scripture not some scripture, but all scriptures inspired of God and profitable for teaching or doctrine, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Training, that word is the same word, instruction. Some versions actually do say for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 4:2 reads, "Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." Some versions say with great patience and doctrine. So, yes, they're one and the same. In Titus 2, verse 6 through 8, "Likewise, urge or instruct the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." The point is, instruct our people. Instruct our people to be able to stand there and be an example of good deeds. Because if we're not doing that, I think we're just wasting our time. I hope you would agree with that. In 2 John 9, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching or the doctrine of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son." And so, yes, we have to stay within the Word of God in our teaching and in our preaching and in our obedience. 1 Timothy 4:6, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following." So that's what he told Timothy. He gave Timothy a charge. He gave them the charge to be faithful, to preach the gospel, be ready to preach the gospel anytime, anywhere. And you teach people by example. And when you do this, if you get people to understand the importance of obedience to God, teaching them how they can do that, and if they will do that, guess what? You're going to be a good servant of Christ. In the Song of Moses, in Deuteronomy 32, after the Egyptian army had been drowned in the sea, the Song of Moses says this about God's teaching: "Let my doctrine drop as the rain." This is very wise and commendable. God, just keep showering us with your teaching. Tell us everything we need to know. And you know what? He did. God gave these people everything they needed to know. He gave them the law, and the law was very specific. They needed to know the law in order to be right with God. Folks, we are in the same position. We need to know what the law of Christ is so that we can be confident that we're doing what God wants us to do. So we should be constantly asking God, shower us with your knowledge. Shower us with these things. And he has done that. He's given us his Bible. Now, how often do we sit down and read our Bible to learn what God wants us to do? So Jesus said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." John 7, verse 16. And so what Jesus taught as doctrine actually originated from God. And it is spoken to us through his word. There is a warning from the Holy Spirit, 1 Timothy 4:1. "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." Now, what is a doctrine of demon? A doctrine of demons is any doctrine that will keep you out of heaven. And it may sound good, it may sound pleasing, just like they all say, the doctrine of faith only is a most comforting doctrine. There's probably four or five different groups out there that it's written in their creed book exactly like that. It's a most wholesome doctrine, the doctrine of faith only. And so they do that. But that is the doctrine of demons. Because when they say, all you have to do is believe and you don't have to worry about the rest of it, You're leaving something out. And what did God say about leaving something out? Your part will be taken away. So, the Hebrew writer warns us not to be carried away by varied and strange teaching or doctrine. Don't be carried off by this stuff. You have the word presented to you. Don't deviate from the truth. And of course, Hebrews was written after all of Paul's writings. And Paul warned that some of this was going to be taking place. And he said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach you any other doctrine. I mean, this has already been, the doctrine of Christ had already been established and put out there and made public. And there were people who knew what it was. If you receive any strange doctrine, guess what? You're out of luck. You're in trouble. Because God's not going to accept that. God has told us what he expects of us. And we cannot deviate from that. So what we teach is doctrine. What we teach from this pulpit is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We're doing our very best effort to make sure we teach only the doctrine of Christ. And we should be doing that. Our responsibility to teach only that doctrine which comes from God's Word. And so trying not to put too much humanity in it. Some people think, well, you gotta talk to people in their humanity. That doesn't mean that you're okay, I'm okay, everybody's okay. Because we know from what the Bible says, very few are okay. Very few. And we have to be working on making sure we're one of those few. If it's not found in God's Word, it is not sound and offers no profit towards salvation. It might make people feel good about themselves. You know that Joel Osteen, he teaches that, well, health and wealth, and oh yeah, just God loves you. I've heard him on an interview. Are Muslims going to heaven? Oh yeah, God will accept them. Well, what about atheists? Oh yeah, God will accept them. What about the prostitute? Oh yeah, God's going to accept them. According to some of these people, God will accept anybody. But if you go to God's Word, the only people God is going to accept are the faithful to His Word. And so that's what we encourage you to do, to be faithful. Many people teach that doctrine does not matter. And in the denominations, doctrine does not matter to them, except maybe their own. They may want to continue preaching their own doctrine, and they won't take the doctrine from somebody else, but they're okay, we're okay, everybody's okay as far as they're concerned. That's not according to the Bible. The Bible teaches it really does matter, and we should take it seriously, what we're taught and what we teach others. So what doctrine are you following? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Am I following the doctrine of Christ or just something that some man made up that makes me feel good? Don't let that happen to you. God's given us that doctrine. And he told us what we need to do. We need to be obedient to the gospel. And everybody in this room knows what it takes to be obedient to the gospel. And yet not everybody has remained faithful. So we need to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. And if we need to make changes and get right with God, we can do that. We can pray for you, or you can go home and get in a quiet place and talk to God. But get right with God, and we encourage you all to do that. So we're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.